The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hello, this is Margaret Dixon on Page Turners at WTBR 89.7 FM Pittsfield. We are continuing with Time in the Gods by Lord Dunsany, and we are at part six of The King's Journey, which is the final part of the book. And I don't think we're quite at the end yet this episode, but maybe we are, so we'll see. Part 6. When the caravan, saying farewell to Zendara, set out across the waste northwards towards Ainandu, they follow this desert track for 7 days before they come to water, where Shuba-Onath rises black out of the waste, with a well at its foot and herbage on its summit. On this rock a prophet hath his temple, and is called the Prophet of Journeys, and hath carven in a southern window, smiling along the camel track, all gods that are benign to caravans. There a traveller may learn by prophecy whether he shall accomplish the 10 days' journey thence across the desert, and so come to the white city of Ainandu, or whether his bones shall lie with the bones of old along the desert track. No name hath the prophet of journeys, for none is needed in that desert where no man calls, nor ever a man answers. Thus spake the prophet of journeys, standing before the king. The journey of the king shall be an old journey, pushed on apace. Many a year before the making of the moon, thou camest down with dream camels from the city without a name that stands beyond all the stars. And then began thy journey over the waste of naught, and thy dream camel bore thee well when those of certain thy fellow travellers fell down in the waste, and were covered over by the silence, and were turned again to naught. And those travellers, when their dream camels fell, having nothing to carry them further over the waste, were lost beyond and never found the earth. These are those men that might have been but were not. And all about thee fluttered the myriad hours, travelling in great swarms across the waste of naught. How many centuries passed across the cities, while thou wast making thy journey none may reckon, for there is no time in the waste of naught, but only the hours fluttering earthwards from beyond to do the work of time. At last the dream-born traveller saw far off a green place gleaming, and made haste towards it, and so came to earth. And there, O king, ye rest for a little while, thou and those that came with thee, making an encampment upon earth before journeying on. There the swarming hours alight, settling on every blade of grass and tree, and spreading over your tents, and devouring all things, and at last bending your very tent poles with their weight and wearying you. Behind the encampment in the shadow of the tents lurks a dark figure with a nimble sword, having the name of Time. This is he that hath called the hours from beyond, and he it is that is their master, and it is his work that the hours do, as they devour all green things upon the earth, and tatter the tents and weary all the travellers. As each of the hours does the work of time, time smites him with his nimble sword as soon as his work is done, and the hour falls severed to the dust with his bright wings scattered, as a locust cut asunder by the scimitar of a skillful swordsman. One by one, O king, with a stir in the camp, and the folding up of the tents one by one, the travellers shall push on again on the journey begun so long before out of the city with a name, to a place where dream camels go, striding free through the waste. So into the waste, O king, thou shalt set forth ere long, perhaps to renew friendships begun during thy short encampment upon earth. Other green places thou shalt meet in the waste, and thereon shalt encamp again, until driven thence by the hours. What prophet shall relate how many journeys thou shalt make, or how many encampments? But at last thou shalt come to the place of the resting of camels, and there shall gleaming cliffs that are named the ending of journeys lift up out of the waste of naught. Naught at their feet, naught laying wide before them, with only the glint of worlds far off to illuminate the waste. One by one, on tired dream camels, the travelers shall come in, and going up the pathway through the clift in that land of resting of camels, shall come on the city of ceasing. There, the dream-wrought pinnacles and the spires that are builded of men's hopes shall rise up real before thee, seen only hitherto as a mirage in the waste. So far the swarming hours may not come, and far away among the tents shall stand the dark figure with the nimble sword. But in the scintillant streets, under the sun-built abode of the last of cities, thy journey, O king, shall end. Getting interesting so far. Let's see what else the king's journey has to offer him. But first, a message from our sponsors.
Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM. But did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on the Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure? Coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Tim's Lawn Care. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
We are back, and for those just tuning in, this is Margaret Dixon reading Time and the Gods by Lord Dunsany. Part 7. In the valley beyond Sedona, there lies a garden of poppies, and where the poppies' heads are all a-swing with summer breezes that go up the valley, there lies a path well strewn with ocean shells. Over Sedono's summit, the birds come streaming to the lake that lies in the valley of the garden, and behind them rises the sun, sending Sedono's shadow as far as the edge of the lake. And down the path of many ocean shells, when they begin to gleam in the sun, every morning walks an aged man, clad in a silken robe with strange devices woven. A little temple where the old man lives stands at the edge of the path. None worship there, for Zarnadhu, the old prophet, hath forsaken men to walk among his poppies. For Zarnadhu hath failed to understand the purport of kings and cities, and the moving up and down of many people to the tune of the clinking of gold. Therefore hath Zarnadhu gone far away from the sound of cities, and from those that are ensnared nearby, and beyond Sedono's mountain hath come to rest where there are neither kings nor armies, nor bartering for gold, but only the heads of the poppies that sway in the wind together, and the birds that fly from Sedono to the lake, and then the sunrise over Sedono's summit, and afterwards the flight of birds out of the lake and over Sedono again, and sunset behind the valley, and high over lake and garden the stars that know not cities. Theirs are not who lives in his garden of poppies, with Sedono standing between him and the whole world of men. And when the wind blowing athwart the valley sways the heads of the tall poppies against the temple wall, the old prophet says, "The flowers are all praying, and lo, they be nearer to the gods than men." But the heralds of the king, coming after many days of travel to Sedono, perceive the garden valley. By the lake they saw the poppy garden gleaming round and small, like a sunrise over water on a misty morning seen by some shepherd from the hills. And descending the bare mountain for 3 days, they came to the gaunt pines, and ever between the tall trunks came the glare of the poppies that shone from the garden valley. For a whole day they traveled through the pines. That night a cold wind came up the garden valley, crying against the poppies. Low in his temple, with a song of exceeding grief, Zornadhu in the morning made a dirge for the passing of poppies, because in the night there had fallen petals that might not return or ever come again into the garden valley. Outside the temple on the path of ocean shells, the heralds halted and read the names and honors of the king. And from the temple came the voice of Zornadhu, still singing his lament. But they took him from his garden because of the king's command, and down his gleaming path of ocean shells and away up Sedono, and left the temple empty with none to lament when silken poppies died. And the will of the wind of the autumn was wrought upon the poppies, and the heads of the poppies that rose from the earth went down to the earth again, as the plume of a warrior smitten in a heathen fight far away, were there none to lament him. Thus out of his land of flowers went Zornadhu, and came perforce into the lands of men, and saw cities, and in the city's midst stood up before the king. And the king said, "Zornadhu, what of the journey of the king, and of the princes, and the people that shall meet me?" Zornadhu answered, "I know not of kings, but in the night time the poppy made his journey a little before dawn. Thereafter the wild fowl came, as is their wont, over Sedono's summit, and the sun rising behind them gleamed upon Sedono, and all the flowers of the lake awoke, and the bee passing up and down the garden went droning to other poppies, and the flowers of the lake, they that had known the poppy, knew him no more. And the sun's rays slanting from Sedono's crest lit still a garden valley, where one poppy waved his petals to the dawn no more. And I, O king, that down a path of gleaming ocean shells walk in the morning, found not, nor have since found, that poppy again, that hath gone on the journey whence there is not returning, out of my garden valley. And I, O king, made a dirge to cry beyond that valley, and the poppies bowed their heads. But there is no cry, nor no lament, that may adjure the life to return again to a flower that grew in a garden once, and hereafter is not. Unto what place the lives of poppies have gone, no man shall truly say. Sure it is that to that place are only outward tracks. Only it may be that when a man dreams at evening in a garden, where heavily the scent of poppies hangs in the air, when the winds have sunk and far away the sound of a lute is heard on lonely hills, as he dreams of silken scarlet poppies that once were swinging together in the gardens of his youth, the lives of those old lost poppies shall return, living again in his dream. So there may dream the gods. And through the dreams of some divinity, reclining in tinted fields above the morning, we may haply pass again, although our bodies have long swirled up and down the world with other dust. In these strange dreams our lives may be again, all in the center of our hopes, rejoicings, and laments, until above the morning the gods wake to go about their work, haply to remember still their idle dreams, haply to dream them all again in the stillness when shines the starlight of the gods. Part 8. Then said the king, I like not these strange journeys, nor this faint wandering through the dreams of gods, like the shadow of a weary camel that may not rest when the sun is low. The gods that have made me to love the earth's cool woods and dancing streams do ill to send me into the starry spaces that I love not, with my soul still peering earthward through the eternal years, as a beggar who once was noble staring from the street at lighted halls. For wherever the gods may send me, I shall be as the gods have made me, a creature loving the green fields of earth. Now if there stand one prophet here that hath the ear of those two splendid gods that stride above the glories of the orient sky, tell them that there is on earth one king in the land called Sarkandhu to the south of the Opal Mountains, who would fain tarry among the many gardens of earth and would leave to other men the splendors that the gods shall give the dead above the twilight that surrounds the stars. Then spoke Yamin, prophet of the temple of Obin, that stands on the shores of a great lake facing east. Yamin said, I pray oft to the gods who sit above the twilight behind the east. When the clouds are heavy and red at sunset, or when there is boding of thunder and eclipse, then I pray not, lest my prayers be scattered and beaten earthward. But when the sun sets in a tranquil sky, pale green or azure, and the light of his farewell stays long upon lonely hills, then I send forth my prayers to flutter upward to gods that are surely smiling, and the gods hear my prayers. But, O king, boons sought out of due time from the gods are never wholly to be desired. And if they should grant thee to tarry on the earth, old age would trouble thee with burdens more and more, till thou wouldst become the driven slave of the hours and fetters that none may break. The king said, They that had devised this burden of age may surely stay it. Pray therefore on the calmest evening of the year to the gods above the twilight, that I may tarry always on the earth and always young, while over my head the scourges of the god pass and alight not. Then answered Yamin, The king hath commanded, yet among the blessings of the gods there always cries a curse. The great princes that make merry with the king, who tell of the great deeds that the king wrought in the former time, shall one by one grow old. And thou, O king, seated at the feast crying, Make merry, and extolling the former time, shall find about thee white heads nodding in sleep, and men that are forgetting the former time. Then, one by one, the names of those that sported with thee once called by the gods. One by one the names of the singers that sing the songs thou lovest called by the gods. Lastly of those that chased the great boar by night and took him in Orghum River. Only the king. Then a new people that have not known the old deeds of the king, nor fought and chased with him, who dare not make merry with the king as did his long-dead princes. And all the while those princes that are dead growing dearer and greater in thy memory, and all the while the men that served thee then growing more small to thee, and all the old things fading and new things arising, which are not as the old things were, the world changing yearly before thine eyes, and the gardens of thy childhood overgrown. Because thy childhood was in the olden years, thou shalt love the olden years. But ever the new year shall overthrow them and their customs, and not the will of a king may stay the changes that the gods have planned for all the customs of old. Ever thou shalt say, This was not so, and ever the new customs shall prevail even against a king. When thou hast made merry 1,000 times, thou shalt grow tired of making merry. At last thou shalt become weary of the chase, and still old age shall not come near to thee to stifle desires that have been too oft fulfilled. Then, O king, thou shalt be a hunter yearning for the chase, but with naught to pursue that hath not been oft overcome. Old age shall come not to bury thine ambitions in a time where there is naught for thee to aspire to any more. Experience of many centuries shall make thee wise, but hard and very sad, and thou shalt be a mind apart from thy fellows, and curse them all for fools, and they shall not perceive thy wisdom, because thy thoughts are not their thoughts, and the gods that they have made are not the gods of the olden time. No solace shall thy wisdom bring thee, but only an increasing knowledge that thou knowest not, and thou shalt feel as a wise man in a world of fools, or else as a fool in a world of wise men, when all men feel so sure and ever thy doubts increase. When all that spake with thee of thine old deeds are dead, those that saw them not shall speak of them again to thee, till one speaking to thee of thy deeds of valor add more than even a man should when speaking to a king, and thou shalt suddenly doubt whether these great deeds were. And there shall be none to tell thee, only the echoes of the voices of the gods still singing in thine ears when long ago they called the princes that were thy friends. And thou shalt hear the knowledge of the olden time most wrongly told and afterwards forgotten. Then many prophets shall arise, claiming discovery of that old knowledge. Then thou shalt find that seeking knowledge is vain, as the chase is vain, as making merry is vain, as all things are vain. One day thou shalt find that it is vain to be a king. Greatly then will the acclamations of the people weary thee, till the time when people grow weary of kings. Then thou shalt know that thou hast been uprooted from thine olden time, and set to live in uncongenial years, and jests all new to royal ears shall smite thee on the head like hailstones, when thou hast lost thy crown, when those to whose grandsires thou hast granted to bring them as children to kiss the feet of the king shall mock at thee, because thou hast not learned to barter with gold. Not all the marvels of the future time shall atone to thee, for those old memories that glow warmer and brighter every year as they recede into the ages that the gods have gathered. And always dreaming of thy long-dead princes and of the great kings of other kingdoms in the olden time, thou shalt fail to see the grandeur to which a hurrying, jesting people shall attain in that kingless age. Lastly, O king, thou shalt perceive men changing in a way that thou shalt not comprehend, knowing what thou canst not know, till thou shalt discover that these are men no more, and a new race holds dominion over the earth whose forefathers were men. These shall speak to thee no more as they hurry upon a quest that thou shalt never understand, and thou shalt know that thou canst no longer take thy part in shaping destinies, but in a world of cities only pine for air, and the waving grass again, and the sound of wind and trees. Then even this shall end with the shapes of the gods and the darkness gathering all lives but thine, when the hills shall fling up earth's long-stored heat back to the heavens again, when earth shall be old and cold, with nothing alive upon it but one king. Then said the king, pray to those hard gods still, for those that have loved the earth with all its gardens and woods and singing streams will love earth still when it is old and cold, and with all its gardens gone and all the purport of it being failed and naught but memories. Well, as usual, this was Margaret Dixon on Page Turners. I enjoyed reading to you, and I hope you enjoyed listening. I will see you next time.